Now, we were personally converted in August 1937. And I, of course, being a teenager, we were not raised in church. We were not raised to know God. We didn't have family prayer. We didn't have grace at the tables. And about all I have heard all my life was that all preachers was rascals, and all churches and everybody else, all that they ever did, it was just a sort of a racket. And I was soured on the things of God in an early age. And the Lord sort of converted me out of season, so to speak. I had started to a theater, 17 years of age I was, and got almost inside the door, had already purchased my ticket, and was nearly in the door when something pulled my coattail. So strong, wife, I thought it was somebody. And I turned around, and there was no one there. And so I thought, my Lord, what was that? It mightily disturbed me. I thought, well, now something's going on. This is strange. It so disturbed me, young people, that I started walking down the street. And old William McBurney had a tent in Asheville at that time, the old Irish evangelist. And I was so disturbed over that tugging till I found that tent just walking down the street and happened upon it. And I sat on the back seat on the end of the bench where I could get gone in a hurry. And the strangest thing, he preached about the coming of the Lord. And he talked about the Jews going back and how God was using them. And it disturbed me. I was working for one at that time for $6 a week, having graduated from high school, and was glad to get it. And when he told all that, it got me so disturbed, I thought, Lord, I'm working for one, and I don't understand all this. I'm going up there and ask that man about it. And young people, when I got to the platform, I remember just as well, he was snow white-headed. And he reached that hand down just as I came up the steps, and he said, young man, are you a Christian? I said, no, sir. Listen, I've never made any kind of profession. All I professed was the devil, and I'm sorry of it, but that's all I ever knew. And he said, are you a Christian? I said, no, sir. And he had a piece of chalk in his hand, and he said, hold your hand out, son. And I held my hand. I don't know what he's going to do. They put that piece of chalk in there. And then he looked at me and he said, how did you get that? I said, well, I just now received it from you. He said, that's the way you receive Christ. It's a personal thing. You must personally take him as your Savior. And he said, will you take Jesus as your personal Savior? Young people, I don't understand it, but I just said, yes, sir, I'll take you.
Amen.
For I knew I needed it. Then he said, tell this preacher what God thought. And I couldn't even tell the man by that time. Something, brother, they felt like, brother, something just swelled up. I couldn't talk. I said, the Lord converted me, right? It was so wonderful. I couldn't even tell the preacher. It was so wonderful. But all the way home that night, it was so different. The stars that I'd seen all of my 17 years looked like they were plain leapfrogs. And the trees were clapping their hands for joy. And I couldn't hardly sleep. And the next morning when I finally awakened, I awakened with one desire, and it was burning like the woods on fire, to know God and to know Him in His fullness, and I thought everybody ought to be saved. I thought everybody ought to be saved, and I also thought my job was to get them saved that next morning. That was on it. I didn't do it, that it had to be God. I didn't. That was God. I thought everybody must be saved. My job's get them saved.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I could tell you a lot of other things, but quickly, let me just hit some high places here, young people. We must be born again if we go with God. And then the Lord led me, and I began to pray, and I knew the Lord wanted me to go to Bible school, and I didn't have the money. It was back in Depression days, and you couldn't get money. Money was a scarce item, and our folks didn't have any money, and I was talking about God to them. They didn't understand that anyway. And the Lord began to lead me on. I began to pray, and I told God I loved Him. I said, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I hadn't been saved long till the Lord spoke to me, young people. He said, son, there's no prayer in this home, and there's no grace at the tables, and there's no Bible reading. And I knew the Lord was dealing with me. And I kept trying to pray around it, because I knew if the Lord called on me to do that, I was in deep water. Because that was all the family, and I was just one of the boys, and they were sort of looking at me out of the corner of their eye anyway. But I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do, and don't tell him that if you don't mean it. Because he'll sure call on you. I said, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I said, he said, well, I want you to say to have grace at the table. And I said, well, Lord, I'll do it, but I kept putting it off. And that's another way to get in trouble. Don't put off what God calls you to do. When God calls you to do something, do it. And I kept putting it off. And the longer I put it off, the more my joy leaked out. Till finally I had no joy. And I knew that it was obey God or die. And I got off and prayed. And I said, Lord, if you'll let me live till tomorrow at noon, at dinner time when they all come in, I'll say grace. And that's another thing you better not do if you don't mean it. Don't set a date with God if you don't mean it. Because, honey, the devil went out and got all of his youngins and brought them in. And, Bud, you talk about a fella being in hot water, it was me. But, you know, it's a wonder we hadn't choked to death a long time ago. We just came in and fell into the table and ate like hogs and ground because this wasn't this way and this wasn't. Why isn't this? Isn't it awful how the American people bless? And you'd be surprised the Christian homes that never say grace at me. And I said to and young people, that was a babe long. And there was Ma and Pa, and there was all the boys, and there was all of them. And Bud, when they slid into the table, they just grabbed up and started. And honey, listen, I done made a promise. And I was sitting there, my knees knocking together. And I was shaking, Lord, what am I going to do? I can't get up the nerve. And I remembered that I'd made a vow with God, and the devil had done come and said, yeah, you've done lied to God. Now you might as well give it up and go back. Uh-huh. Oh, I got in hot water. And they was going at it. I thought, God, if I don't do it now, I've lied, and I am in a pickle. And I don't know, it had to be God. I just looked up and hollered out and said, wait a minute. They've been looking at me funny anyway, and I guess they thought, this is it, he's gone. I said, God wants us to pray over this food. Bow your heads. And I didn't give them time to see whether they bowed them or fell out of chairs. I just tore into it hard as I could. I prayed as hard as I could and fast as I could. Said, amen. When it got through, they're sitting there, forks and knives. Paralyzed and brought out. It done something to them. But you know, children, so help me God, young folks, from that day on, every time they sit down, they'd grab them up and then they'd halt. They wouldn't say nothing. They just sat there, Bud, just waiting. That's all I wanted. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to say is, mind God. Mind God. And boy, I got blessed, then I went north, doctor. Man, I thought, whoo, I've obeyed the Lord. Man, isn't it wonderful to mind God? And I was shouting, leaping for joy, and thanking God had helped me. And while I was praying and getting blessed, he said, I got another job for you. Yes.
Amen.
Oh. I said, Lord, what's that? He said, now you ought to start family altar. I said, oh, Lord. Now, God, I've done what you told me. And it isn't so hard to just bow your head and say grace. But now, Lord, getting this outfit together and reading the Bible and praying with them. Now, Lord, that's a big order for anybody. He said, but you said you'd do what I told you. I said, I did, Lord. But I started putting it off again. Postponing it. Don't do it, young people. Walk in the light. When the Spirit shows you, do it then. Don't postpone. If you want to lose out. That's right. And I dare say God, the Holy Ghost, has called some of you already to preach. And you've been postponing in your mind. Say, well, I don't believe he's calling. Listen. You listen to the Holy Spirit. You listen to him. God's called you. Don't postpone. Don't postpone. And I've kept wrestling with God. And I knew, Lord, it's make another date or I'll never do it. And we got into another date business. And I said, all right, Lord, tomorrow night, I'll start family order, but God, you'll have to help me. And that was a trial, brother. For listen, that was something unusual. That's back before TV, but that's when you could turn on the radio and get, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. All night, but that old mountain, why they just sat there and listen to that old mountain music, Doc, pat their feet and read the papers and tell jokes. And there I sat bowed up in the corner. Had my big old Bible out trying to get up enough nerve again. Them looking at me every once in a while. 'cause it done gone out and told it around town. He said, listen, said, I want you, said, I don't know what's happened to the boy. He said, I think it's lost. And isn't that strange? I used to read every old Wild West, Whiz Bang, Eye Opener, Who Shot John, Hell Junk I could get. I'd stick them on the pillows and stick them on the couches like some of you do on the mattress. I'd put them everywhere. And I could read them things, and they never said a word. But when I started reading the Bible, it got to listen. And I sat reading it, and I was a praying, Lord, give me nerve. And you know what? They started going to bed. One had gone. Another had gone. Another had gone. You say, how many was it? Don't you worry, honey. They can do it a long time. There'll be some left. Well, they said, I thought, oh, God, what will I do? And I sat right there till the last one of them left. And went up and went to, and done got in the bed. Mom and Pop done gone up and gone in the bedroom, and there I sit. I said, Lord, I'm lying again, but I didn't want to. He said, it's still not too late. I said, but they've gone. He said, go in where they are.
Amen.
Well, I grabbed that old big Bible up the steps. I went. I tore into the bedroom where Ma and Pa was, and Pa done got his coat off and had his shirt off and had them old long handle BVD things on. He said, get them off. My Lord, he looked at me all eyed and said, what do you want, son? I said, Pop, the Lord told me to have family altar. And I said, you talk about a bird praying. I didn't give him time to say yay or nay. I don't want to. I just fell on the floor, brother, like he knocked me in the head. Prayed like the woods is on fire. But now, young people, listen, that's hard for a teenager. That's hard. It's sharp. And Christ, God had to help me.
Yes, sir. I know what you mean.
But young people, I was telling you that for this reason. Obey God. But after that, it wasn't any trouble. They waited for it. It's that first time. It's obedience. Dr. Willingham preached here the other morning the most wonderful message I've ever heard on obedience. Listen, you don't love Jesus if you don't obey him. And I could go on and on telling you many things. But the Lord was using that to help me spiritually. And of course, I praise him for it. And I'm glad the family understood. Children, I'm glad, and God used it. But then, shortly thereafter, of course, God called us to go to school, and we had to go by faith and had no money. Went by faith. Young people, we didn't have clothes. Honest for God, back in those days, there was no money to be had. You couldn't get money. We went down here to Core Bible College. Young people, honest, I listen, you kids right now wouldn't work in what we had to work. Some of you kids that's got public jobs, you wouldn't go to work in what we wore. They wouldn't cry.
Right.
But that's all we had. It was all we had. We stayed in school like that. Young people, we didn't have money. I've walked across the college campus, and I've seen young kids that came from homes where they had money. And honest for God, you had a battle. They could drive cars and had money to spend, but you couldn't get a nickel. You couldn't get a nickel, not one nickel. I've been to hungered hot water run in my mouth, boy, and you'd have a stomach spasm, and you didn't have a nickel to buy a bar of candy to curb you after that. And the devil came when this. Don't you think he didn't come? He told me I was crazy. He told me I was crazy. Family couldn't send money. I had to pray it in. I had to pray the money in to stay in the college. That's the way I stayed in school. That's the only way I could go. And they put me to milking cows. Ma taught me how to milk when I was a kid. And boys, I learned to juice them too. So I could do it two-handed. And they put me to milking cows. And we had about from anywhere from 18 to 20-some cows. And the only help we had was an elderly person they hired that lived in the community. And I was the only other. And you know, the devil jumped me every morning about 4 o'clock when I had to get up. And all the rest of the kids would be snoozing. Laying there, Doc. A lot of them, their parents sent them money. They had cars parked out there. And a lot of times those northeast Georgia hills, I've seen icicles long as my elbow down. And it'd be down to about 0. And I had to sleep in my clothes. We had dormitories out there. Children, we didn't have central heat. They had an old wood stove out in the hall, and you might as well hung a firebug up by his leg. For the good it done. And you'd go to bed and you'd put on all your, you put on your work clothes. Put on all of them. Put on your jacket. I had an old toboggan. I put it that old man. Put my socks on and put my breeches and my socks and get in the bed and pray, Lord, don't let me freeze to death before 4 o'clock. Lay there and shake and pray and get up at 4 and start across that old milk cart, and the devil say, you're the biggest fool. Why don't you just forget this and go home and get your job and be the life of the party? And I go down to milk and sit down there with the old cows, knit cold and open barn. The wind had whistled through that.
Yeah.
And we'd sit there and milk and shake. I've had to take my shoes off and put my feet up between the cow's leg and the udder to warm my feet many a time milking. And the devil come and say, you're a fool. You ought to forget it. And then the Holy Ghost would come up on the other side and he'd say, son, this is not for always. There is better days ahead. He said, he that's called you will not forsake you. And the Lord began to whisper in that ear. And that'd make me feel good. And then I'd begin to take my old milk bucket and I'd get fixed and I'd milk me a tune. He had the milk in his hand. And I'd start milking. Since Jesus came into my heart. Christ sometimes. Boy, you talk about. And that old tin bucket, just voices are knocking off a few knives and getting in gear, and the phone was a prize. And after a while, brother, the old devil said he ain't got a lick of sense. And he said, might as well leave alone. Devil leave, Holy Ghost would come, barn light up, and the cows look like this all in tune. We didn't have enough time of our life. I'd shout, run up and down while the old milk barn became a. That was the best place, so I wouldn't have traded that for the best cathedral in America. We had cow feeding in there, the old cat. We sure did. Now you say you don't have any sense. Well, don't disturb me. I'm enjoying it. But the Lord was there. Young people, God will sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. God will sanctify to thee every trial. He will sanctify to thee every hard place. He'll take the places in your life that you think are utter defeat, and they'll become the greatest part of your life. If you'll surrender to God and not whine and not complain and not murmur. But now if you go around, let me tell you, for God's sake, come to the altar tonight and get cured of self-pity. If you don't, you'll never serve God. God can't use a person that's filled with self-pity.
Amen.
I've never seen one yet God could use. Self-pity. Feeling sorry for yourself. Always feeling like, well, you're having it hard or you've been wronged or something. God help you to die to that now.
Yes, amen.
Now, you know if a fellow wanted to get bitter, he could have looked around and said, well, look, God, now, you said that if I'd serve you, you'd bless me. And here's kids got cars and wire new suits. And here we don't have any and can't get a nickel to buy a bar of candy with. And get up at 4 o'clock, milk all these cows and freeze and have to clean the old dairy barn early in the morning and have all of it presentable for the inspector and have the milk strained and ready for the college students at 6:30. You got a role to do that. You didn't have much time to play. But young people, there was time that set my clock early so I'd have that extra time for Christ.
Amen.
Let me tell you early, young people, if you think you can serve God without praying, you're wasting your time.
That's right.
You better ask God to give you a prayer life early.
Yes. Amen.
And don't get excited if you happen to spend 5 minutes on your knees. And don't get excited if you happen to spend an hour with God on your knees. Just keep praying. That's the only way. But there's where the Lord met me, children. Yes. And God, listen, the Lord blessed me so. I got so lost in it. Getting up with all that and the devil tried right. And the Lord had blessed me. I never could sing. But I got to bless the dean of men sent for me one day and said, Sexton, said, we appreciate you loving God. But he said, do you know what you're doing? I said, no, sir. He said, at 4:30 in the morning, you're waking up the dormitory. I said, what doing? He said, singing nothing between. He said, could you turn it down just a little? And then they finally nicknamed him, said, we'll just have to call him Hallelujah Jack. I didn't care what they called him, as long as the Holy Ghost came. But young people, God helped us. And we made it by faith. Of course, we had to live by faith and trust God. A lot of times, just hungry. But the Lord used it. You wouldn't take a million worlds for it. We could tell you other things about school, but time's going now. We went on to the Missionary Training Institute at Nyack, New York, by faith. And here, let me just tell you this. I know, if you came to go home early, good night. The others stay a while. Listen, young people, when the Lord called us, after we'd spent 2 years there, God said, now I want you to go to the Missionary Institute, Nyack, New York, the Christian Missionary Alliance School. Well, I didn't have the money, still the same story. And the Lord said, well, I want you to go. God gave, I was preaching in West End then,
right.
it down on the old lot. And the folks got together and got a little money together. And finally, I got enough money to buy my bus ticket. Enough money to buy my bus ticket. Then I think it was $20-some to New York City. To New York City. And young people, I was so sure God wanted me to go that I packed what little stuff I had and took it to the bus station and bought my ticket. But now I didn't have any money to go on. And the school specified you can't enroll unless you have the amount of money required when you arrive. And I didn't even have money to get there on, let alone get enrolled. But I was so sure God wanted me to go that I bought my bus ticket and stood there at the station by faith waiting for money to come because the bus left at 4 o'clock or thereabouts. Now you say, but preacher, you lost your mind. No, the Lord told me to go. And I was just a teenager and I felt I was to go. And I did everything I knew. I bought the ticket and the bus left at about 4 o'clock. And I thought, well, now this is the bus I'm to be on. And at 4 o'clock when that bus pulled out of Asheville, I was still standing there. I couldn't get on. I didn't have the money. And I saw Brother Fogg out down the street. And it felt like something sunk inside. And the devil said, see, God's failed me. And everybody in Asheville said, he's sure lost it. Said, he's crazy. Said, he bought a bus ticket to go to college and didn't even have money to get out of town and packed his trunk and took it to the station. Young people, but obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
And you've got to, another thing, you'll have to die to what people think about you.
That's right.
And you'll have to die to pride.
That's right.
Amen. Have to do it. And I just stood there and the Lord said, start walking. And I started walking. And the next thing I knew I was walking down College Street in Asheville, teenage kid. Now I'm praying, Lord, I know you wanted me to go. I knew it. And as I walked along, God told me, he said, you go see Dr. B.E. Morgan. A lot of you remember old Dr. Morgan. You remember? Good old Christian doctor. I was walking down the street. Now listen, I knew Dr. Morgan just more or less casual. That was all. I'd seen him, and he went to the Gospel Tabernacle, and that's about the way I knew him, speaking to him. That's about it. And as I walked down that street, God said, go see Dr. Morgan. And when I got there, I believe Linda's mother was nurse then. Anyway, they had a crowd, the best I remember, and I'd have had to wait a long time, and the next bus left about 6 o'clock, and I didn't have long. And I came in, and she said, well, I said, I've got to see Dr. Morgan. And she bypassed everybody. I said, well, come on, I'll get you in, and took me into him, and he was in his office. When I walked through the door, I said, doctor, God told me to go to school. And I've got my ticket, and the bus is gone. There's another, and it's 6. And before God all said, he's a digging. And he was opening her up. He said, how much? He started counting. I said, hallelujah. Out the door, I went back up the street running. And when the next bus pulled, I was riding back. And I said, now, devil, who's a fool? Amen. By faith.
Hey. But here's the thing, Joe. When I got to New York City, of course, the bus line was always on strike. And it cost me so much to get around to school. But I still didn't have enough to get in. And I stayed there 2 weeks. Not on the rolls, and they said, you can't stay. And I said, I'm here, I'm not going, I got to stay. And I stayed anyway, and God got me in and got me enrolled and all that. But now, quickly, God called us to preach. And this is the wonderful thing about it. I wanted to go as a missionary. My heart's desire was to go to Africa. I joined every Africa prayer band I could get in. I always. You know when I wanted to go to Africa? When I was a child in about the third grade. In the third grade. I got a hold of one of Livingston's books, and I read it, and I can remember it. We lived in an old clapboard mountain shack, and I remember going to my dad and saying, Pop, when I get big, I'm going to be a missionary. And I didn't even know what it's all about, but that I knew that was something got a hold of me, and I always wanted to go, and I prayed to go, and I begged God to let me go. But while I was praying, one day in the mountain, he gave me a verse of scripture, and he said, son, I've called me. But he said, instead of going as a missionary, I want you to do the work of an evangelist and win souls and get other young people to go. And you stay here and preach and evangelize and get them saved and help raise money and send others. He said, that's your calling. Do the work of the evangelist. Win souls. Young people, God began to honor them. And of course, when he said preach, we just thought, well, preach anywhere, and that was right. Preach it. Listen, young people, don't ever wait for some denominational church to make you a pulpit to preach. If you sit around and wait for them to hand it to you on a platter, you may never serve God. You ask God to lead you where lost souls are and go out. You have to preach in the bushes and the streets and the jails and the prisons. You don't worry about pastoring a big church. That's right.
You worry about getting souls. Oh, children, many young man has gone and gone and gone and thought, well, now it'll be handed to me on a platter. And brother, he's been so heartbroken, he gave it up. You start and say, God, if I never preach in a church, if I never preach on a platform, God, the fields are white under harvest. The street corners are vacant. Lord God, I can knock on doors. Lord, just lead me to lost souls. If you don't do it that way, you'll never do it. Don't you sit and wait for it to be handed to you by somebody. Oh, no. Don't sit around and scratch backs and pull strings to get something wonderful. You get on your knees and pray a hole in the sky and get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And ask God to lead you to lost souls. Go after souls. You say, but brother preacher, I wouldn't be thought much of. Wonder what they thought of Jesus when they said he had a devil in him. Consider Jesus, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. My brother and I, Leroy, we felt burdened of God to go up to the old recreation park and preach. You know, there's going to be a big crowd for that day. And we got the old speakers loaded, and you know how people do on 4th of July, while they're all shooting firecrackers, and every once in a while you'd hear a stick of dynamite go off somewhere where they'd tied at the top of a tree or something. And they was celebrating 4th of July. And we just threw the old speakers in, and a couple fellas rode with us. We said, we're going up to the rec park to preach. There'd be a crowd up there today. And as we went across through town, why, we just sort of getting warmed up a little bit, you know. It was why we say, prepare to meet God. Jesus is soon coming. Well, we hadn't got across town. The boy heard a whistle blow, and a cop stopped us, and he got in and said, let's go to the station. Well, I thought, that's strange. They got us over there, and they took us in, and said we're going to have to book these. Next thing I knew, they sent a jailer, and they had us, led us down a hall, put us on an elevator, went up, I believe it's three floors,
and down another long steel hall, and down on the end of the this hall, they opened the cell door and pushed us in and locked. And the other two fellas, of course, they didn't bother them. They just ran. And they went on back, took the old car. We had an old 1937 LaSalle. We didn't have a car. We prayed one in. God made a man give us one. And we painted all over and had on the back, the wicked will be turned into hell and all nations forget God. Looked like a rolling signboard. I believe, and brother, before God, I believe the embarrassment of them. They'd call us for funerals. We'd lead funerals with that thing. It looked, I never seen anything like it in my life, but it was a witness. They'll never forget that one. But anyway, they put us in jail, and where they put us in jail, there was an outside cell, and then there's a little walkway, and then there was windows and a flat roof. And we'd just been in there a few moments, and we stood there and sort of looked. They sort of shocked us. We had never dreamed of anything like that. And Lee looked at me, and I looked at him. He said, well, let's sing a song. He could always sing better than I could. I said, you start it, and I'll help you. He tore loose. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And next thing you know, we just got the blessing. We was carried away. Boy, we was really pulling out the loud stops. We was singing and getting blessed. A little bitty gals, he said, look. I said, what is it? He said, just keep singing, but look. And he pointed, and across the top of the roof, they had climbed up white and come out the window, and they was running across the top of the roof, and men was climbing up and holding on and peeping in the window. They'd never seen jailbirds like that before. And I'd never seen them like that before. That was my first time. And, Bud, then we got blessed, and we got the shout, and more coming across the roof, peeping in. And we got to, after a while, we got to laugh. Somebody way down in the cell block, we couldn't see them, around the corner in that metal thing. They screamed, said, hey, you over there, you that's singing. Are you the sexton, brother? Yeah. Well, what are you doing in jail? We're having a camp meeting. What are you doing? Boy, she went in orbit then. Yes, sir. About that time, a fella came in to see about us. The word had got out. And this fella, and he brought an unsaved man with him. Great big old fella. I reckon he thought there was going to be a little warfare going on. He brought a little help in case we need him. And when they came running down the steel hall, they finally let him in. And he brought this other big fella with him. He wasn't a Christian, this great big old fella. And boy, just as he ran up to that jail door, the power of God hit him just like he'd knocked him in the head with a pole axe. He fell on his knees and said, oh, my God, I'm lost. And he tore loose the praying, got saved. And it looked like this plane leapfrogged down the hall. God saved him. And about that time, the law came running back in. And they ran up to the cell block and said, listen, you boys make bond and get out of here. I said, I didn't pay to get in. I ain't going to pay to get out. Oh, Lord. I never heard like my life. By that, the cops got excited and they got frustrated and they thought, my Lord, what'll we do? There'll be a mob here. The word was spreading, of course. And they thought we got to head off. They'll come mobs of them. And after a while, they sent a special detective. He said, now listen, boys. I said, I know you. He said, I know you boys. And he said, you just got to make bond get out. I said, no, sir. We didn't pay to get in. We're not going to pay to get out. And boys, it's getting nearly dark then. And they was gathering at the old town. The word of God. Why, they was gathering there for the hundred. And we still had old shades on the floor. Remember? Old sawdust shades. And didn't have any. The ends were still out. Just hard. Looked like a sanctified gun body. You could go out and just no doors, no windows. Shavings on the floor. And they was gathering in for the hundred. And it was getting dark. And after a while, they got excited. They didn't know what to do. And there it was, dark had come, and finally they run up there and they shine the flashlight through the bars in their eyes, said, listen, you boys, you got to get out of here. Well, I wasn't holding them. That's God wasn't. I was having nothing I could do about it. I just didn't there. And they said, listen, will you make bond? No, sir. Then one of them got mad. He said, well, will you promise to be back here in the morning and stand trial? I said, Doc, I can't do it. I said, God may tell me to go to Georgia tonight and preach, and I can't make a promise. Well,
He lights went right up to the ceiling. He jumped up and he unlocked that cell and he jerked the door back. He said, oh, get out of here and we'll trust you to be here in the morning at 9 o'clock to stand court trial.
Well, I guess that's the first bird you ever had
you
couldn't get out.
Most of them wanted out. We didn't want out, just sitting there enjoying it. But as we got there that night, I'll never forget it. There must have been hundreds. And when we walked in, they shouted and leaped for joy. God rolled us like clouds of glory. And I remember, Brother White, you remember, we announced, said, I want everybody to be at the courthouse, I mean at the city jailhouse in the morning, city court, and bring your Bible. But I urged them, I said, don't bring a little Bible. If it happens, bring the biggest one you can find. And if you got a family Bible so big you have to roll it in the wheelbar and bring it. I never seen the like of Bible. You ought to just remember, Nathan. Brother, that was the prettiest procession coming across the square, marching to the jail. Them great big Bible shining, holy Bible. Well, they'd never had a crowd like that to try. Now, they'd tried sots and drunkards and knockdowns and dragouts, but here's a crowd that didn't know what to do. It was about to go in order. And they filled the courtroom and ran it over and stood around the walls. And finally, the prosecutor got up and he called the case to before the court. And he said, Sexton boy, step around and plead. Guilty or not guilty? Leroy jumped up and said, since God save me, I'm not guilty. My Lord, they're talking about earthly things. We're talking about heavenly. Things you can't get them to work. They just wouldn't fit together at all. And the crowd they got loose and they got calling amen. And they prayed, they prayed God would confuse them. That outfit got to confuse. They couldn't have thought where John 3:16 was. They didn't know where they were. They finally just got rattled and they had to call in extra policemen to try to hold the saints down. And finally they just had to say, well, get out and get gone. But youngins, what I'm saying is, God will take care of you. Don't you worry. God will take care of you. Yes, sir. The second time that they locked us up for preaching, we was preaching a little mountain town out from Asheville. And they had a Catholic mayor at that time. We went through there one night and disturbed his peace. That's all they could book us for. You know what they put on the books? Disturbing the peace. And I knew that was a lie because God said the wicked have no peace. They didn't have any peace. So I knew they lied. They had no peace. No, sir. But the next day they came to the house and arrested us and said, now, you two boys, you be in this town in a certain date and stand trial. And we announced to the saints to all pray and go. You ought to have seen that mob go to town. Listen, they took Bibles, they took gospel tracts, they took arms full of everything, literature, and they went to town about 2 hours before trial, and they walked the streets, and they preached, and they passed out gospel tracts, and by the time the trial was ready, that town was an uproar, and they'd rather had John Dillinger and all his cohorts and had that mob of saints. These had turned the world upside down and come hither, and I never seen an outfit in such a turmoil. And finally, when they called trial, they took us in this little it's one of those one-horse towns, jail, bank, fire department, everything in one shotgun building. They took us way back in the back, and they filled it and stood all the way out to the street, and they filled the windows. And the mayor, who was so mad, he was the judge and the prosecuting attorney and the jury and the jailer and the big wheel, and he hired them and fired them and shot them. He was everything. He said, you two boys step up and stand trial. We stood up. He tore into some kind of a rigmarole and rolled off down to it. And he looked up and he said, I'll fine you boys $50 apiece in the cost. Leroy said, praise God, we appeal. I don't reckon he thought we had enough sense to appeal. I ain't going to be like the old colored woman now. I appeal back. We didn't do that. We appeal for good. We appeal.
He said, "We appeal." And when we done that, it made him mad. And he screamed. He said, "Come here, officer. These are your prisoners." Now, thank God, they just out bringing on Jesus and said, "These are your prisoners." Officer came, grabbed us by the arm, took us out through that mob, put us in the police car, and roared out of town. And the last thing I saw when I looked back going out of town, the saints was on the corner, had big Bibles. They looked like a bunch of kangaroos leaving the ground and hollered, "Hallelujah! And praise God in glory!" Amen. Praise the Lord. But then they brought us to Asheville and took us to the county jail this time and took us up to the 15th floor. Then they took us down, the jailer took us up, down through the halls, down those steel doors, wound around. Way back in there had a big, long cell block. Looked like it was nearly as long as this tabernacle down the side. Then there was cells off of that. He opened the door and shoved us in and locked the door. And back he went, round through doors. We heard him clanging, banging, locking. And after a while, he went out of here. And there we stood. And I never seen such a crowd. They lined up down that cell block. And you talk about birds giving you a cold, frosty look, honey. Nobody said nothing for a little bit. They just sizing up the situation. You say, "Was you scared?" Well, I believe the man had good sense he'd been scared. They lined up. And nobody said nothing for a few moments. They just looked at us. A little bit, the leader of the crowd. There's always a leader in those crowds. He had a cast on. But don't you think he didn't rule the roost? A little bit, Bub, he spoke. He stepped out. Said, "You two boys, step up. Stand up here." We knew not to obey. We knew better not to obey him. We stepped up. He never asked us our name and what was doing, nothing. He said, "Kangaroo Court will be called to order." And he said, "Now, when we call Kangaroo Court to order, you two boys have to produce a dollar piece to go in our fund, or you have to take the consequences." He called a young man out of that crowd and said, "Come here. Get over there. Call Kangaroo Court." He jumped on a steel bench welded to the wall. I never heard such ungodly blasphemy in my life. He rattled off down through something. And after a while, he wound up and said, "Kangaroo Court's now called to order. You two boys, dig down, come up with a dollar, and lay it in the pot or else." And by the time they'd done that, that whole cell block of men had lined up like this. They was one in front of the other. And you know what we had to do? We said, "But they took our stuff." He said, "All right, then you go through the line. Get on your knees and start crawling. And each man does what he pleases." And I'd read before in Reader's Digest where they'd kill some fellas in these kangaroo courts. Sometimes they'd hang them up with their toes and burn them with cigarettes. And some, really, they've been slaughtered. It's not just a life and matter. And, of course, it's against the law. But how are you going to, a bunch of men locked up way off from any jail or anybody, how are they going to know what goes on? And if somebody killed, they can't electrocute the whole crowd. Nobody talks. And listen, each man had the choice of doing what he pleased. He can rabbit punch you, or he can twist your ear off, or he can beat you in the back. He can do anything he wants to do. And now they've been locked up a long time. They crave excitement, and they crave blood. And I knew that there was two little preacher boys in a tight place. But you know, young people, God said, "I'm a very present help in the time of trouble." And I didn't know what to do. But he doesn't give orders. He said, "The dollar, please, or get on your knees and start." And just as we stepped over and was ready to go down, God spoke to me and said, "Ask him to pray. Let you pray." And I looked at him in the face, and God gave me courage. It had to be God. And I said, "Doc, before we go through, I always like to pray about everything I do. Can we pray before we go through?" Young people, that was the thing that knocked him. Listen, I don't believe a mule could have kicked him any harder. He straightened and listened. He just seemed like he paralyzed. And that whole crowd of men, they wasn't. You could have heard a pin drop. Everything got deathly still. Nothing moved. Just as still, you could have heard them breathing. And that leader looked at us a few moments.
And then, children, in a muffled voice, God, the Holy Ghost, came. He couldn't do nothing else. He said, all right, you can pray before you go through. Go ahead. And now, when he said that, my brother and I, there's no lying bench, we fell on our knees. And you talk about two birds praying. Now, listen, that's one time I believed in long prayers. Because the longer we prayed, the longer we didn't have kangaroo court. And honey, we prayed and prayed and prayed. And kept on praying. And then we prayed some more. And honey, if you ever get in a tight place, you will pray too. And we kept on praying. And we knew the longer we prayed, there was no kangaroo court. But here's the glorious part, young people. After a while, God's my witness. Oh, we began to pray and look up. And children away yonder from the glory world. Gently, a little light, a tiny small light began to move out. And oh, children, I knew the tide was turning. I believe with all of my soul that God the Father looked down over the battlements and looked around and said, Gabriel, come here. A couple of my little fellows is in a tight place down there. Get you a bunch of angels and get down there in a hurry and stem the tide. They need you quick. Brother, I tell you, the longer we prayed, the closer the light came, until finally it seemed that heaven burst through, and the sail lit up, and the glory came, and everything looked wonderful, and it seemed that the sail bars turned to gold, and God came. We forgot about being in jail. It seemed like we was carried away, and it wouldn't have made any difference if you was in a den of lions. God was there. And God kept coming and kept flooding our souls. And after a while, we came to ourselves standing up and shouting and praising God. And brother, when we finally got back to earth, everything was deathly still. The leader was standing there. Brother wouldn't move. And brother, he looked around. Nothing would say anything. Finally, he spoke up. He looked around. He said, there ain't a gonna be no kangaroo court. Then he shook his fist. Praise God Almighty. He shook his fist at that mob and he said, let me tell you another thing. The first one of you blankety blank soul and souls that says one word out of the way or lays a hand on these boys or touches them or molests them or even curses while they're in here, he said, I'll break your blankety blank neck. Now, I mean it. I like the way I said, praise God, hallelujah. Thank God, God's got the devil fighting for him. Praise God. God will never let you down. He always defends you. I'll tell you about that time, young people, the power of God got so high and the ways of God came. You needn't to put on wading boots. You had to get on a spiritual swimming suit. It got so deep in there. It was coming and a going. And God hit an old fella. He staggered out great, long, tall, long, gangling, loosely thrown together looking fella. And he was crying, shaking. He said, my God Almighty. He said, I've got a family and I'm lost and going to hell. Would you pray for me? He fell on his knees. Brother called on God, got saved. We was hugging necks and jumping like kangaroos. About that time, we heard a rattling at the cell locked door. Somebody hollered, hey, down in there, you section boys, you're free. Bless God, I was free before they put me in. Yeah. Yeah. We could go on and tell you, children, how that even after they set trial, how God undertook. One of the fellows came to my dad, was going to sit on the jury, made his brag, said, we're going to convict you, boys. Now, think of it for preaching. You don't realize how much hatred there is in America not against the gospel.
Right, right.
So we're going to convict you, boys. Before the jury sat, he dropped dead.
Uh-huh.
And the judge sat on the bench, and the prosecuting attorney and the mayor sat by him and whispered in his ear things for him to do. And it wasn't long after the trial, the judge died, the prosecuting attorney died, and the mayor dropped dead.
Thank God.
God said, touch not mine anointed, through my prophets no harm. Children, we wasn't out there to be seen. If
I had to die, God put a love in me for souls. And ever since God saved me, I feel like I'm supposed to warn people. For me to just sit down chilling, it's the hardest thing in the world. I nearly die. Nobody knows unless they've been called. Jeffrey, you just can't do it. There's something in me chilling like a racehorse that goes dead. And I feel like, God, if I don't warn people, if I don't warn people, their blood will be on my hands. And listen, now I know it's time to bring this to a close. There's another incident that the last time I got in jail, of course, I got in by myself. I don't believe I have time to tell all that. We'll have to get it later, maybe. But the Lord delivered us again and again and again. Young people, God said, I'll fight your battles. My brother and I was passing out papers one night. They brought the Federal Council of Churches to Asheville, and we felt led of God to warn the people, and we printed up papers. You remember, Gentry, carried them all over town. We'd ask God to conceal us so they couldn't see us. We went to every church in the city. We didn't bar anything we could get in. We asked God to conceal us so they couldn't see us. We'd go in and the janitors would be working. We'd go all around and they'd never see us. We'd fill every songbook and the pulpit Bibles with these papers. And we got the information from Washington and from the Dyes Committee and the American Activities Committee. God poured information into us. It staggered the imagination. We called them everything we could, I reckon, without cussing and trying to expose what they were to the people. And, of course, it made them so mad. And then one night we were putting these papers out. We were uptown, and a fella stepped out of a door and grabbed me by the coat lapel, and before I knew what was going on, he made an old-fashioned haymaker and caught me behind the ear. Now, he pert and I knocked her down, brother. You know what pert and I is, don't you? But anyway, children, he didn't stop at that. He just kept coming. Young people, God will always give you a chance to prove what you testify to.
Amen.
If you say I'm saved and sanctified, you get a chance to prove it. I've always said God will give you a chance to prove what you testify to. And I've testified that God has done that for me, and that was the night God let me prove. Because before that, you know what anybody wanted to die. They'd have gone to unjoin him or knock his ears down or have killed him, do anything they could. But young people, I give God the glory, my hand raised to God. I don't believe I ever felt in my soul what I felt for that man. It felt like something bursted and started running. And I wanted to get him in my arms. And if ever I wanted to hug a man and pray for him, that was it. And he was still coming at me, holding on and coming. God said, I'll be a present help. I don't know where this little fella came from. I thought I knew him. A little fella, short and wore glasses. And I thought he was an insurance man that I was well acquainted with. Where he came from, I don't know. But the next thing I knew, he reached over and got that fella. And I don't know that I ever heard a man get hit so hard in my life. And listen, children, he left the pavement of the sidewalk. And when that fella got through flying or falling, he landed in garbage can. And somebody ran out and drug him in the building. And I turned around and that little fella was gone. And I hunted up that insurance man, and I said, are you the man that came the other night when that fellow jumped me for the Lord and was trying to beat me? He said, no, preacher, it wasn't me. And I got to thinking, God said he had sent the angel to minister instead. And young people, I'll bleed till I die that that was an angel that God sent to fight my battle. You say, I don't believe in that. That's why you haven't been delivered. Well, this, children, listen, there's a lot of other things here I could talk on, but let me say this, and I close. This is one of the important things for you young people. Now, it's 10 o'clock, and I'm winding it up right here. I want you to pray a lot. Now, if you're saved, then go on with God. Let him sanctify your heart. Fill you with the Holy Ghost. Young people, don't wait till tomorrow. You answer God's call tonight. If you don't know what God's call is, you come to this altar and say, God, I want you to show me what I'm to do. And I'll do it. God, reveal it to me. Make it known. He will. He's able. If you'll follow him, he'll show you. And then one other thing, young people. I want you to pray about your life's companion. Now, this is where so many young people shipwreck. this is where they make shipwrecks on. If young people would pray through about who they're to marry. Don't up and marry just because you can marry. Young people, if you marry out of the will of God, you're ruined.
Sure.
Listen, young people, I said all that to say this. If you want God's will, you can.
Yes, amen.
If you want to serve God, you can serve Him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. If 50,000 communist teenagers can shake their fist at God and scream till their throats raw, we'll change the world. I believe there's a few teenagers in America that's willing to get on their knees and say, God, if it means my life, I'm going to wholly sell out to Jesus, dedicate my all to God for you to have your way with me, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and God, do thy will. If it's preach, I'll preach. If it's be a missionary, I'll do that. If it's to be a Christian businessman or a lay worker or whatever it is, God, Lord, if it's to be a Christian nurse or a Christian doctor, God, or a singer or whatever it is, God, I'm presenting myself tonight a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Here I am, Lord, take me tonight and use me. I wonder how many young people are willing to bow down that altar there and pray that kind of a prayer tonight and say, God, I'm making a full surrender. Now remember, you're a free moral agent. You don't have to do it. You can go back to your seat and sit down if you want to. But I wonder how many young people are willing tonight to pray that kind of a prayer. And listen, don't wait till tomorrow. You've been a meaning to sell out to God. You've been a meaning to draw the line. You've been a wanting to come to that place, God, I'll do your will or die. This is a night to do it. Don't put it off any longer. Say, God's starting tonight. God's starting tonight. Starting tonight, right now on my knees, I make a full and a complete surrender. Whatever it is, Lord, I want thy will. I surrender God to thee.